All right, here you are. You found yourself in hour two of the Home Improvement Show. So we got a whole nother hour for you. A lot that we can go over. I got a lot of topics and things I can touch on. But we'd also like to touch on what's going on with you. What happened for those cold couple of weeks? What happened during that snow? What are you finding out now about your house that you want to tend to? And give me a shout. Shoot us a text. We can go over it and see if we can help you out. We're here for you, live and lively right now. 314-436-7900 is how you find me, whether you call in, ask a question, or text in. It will work either way. And meanwhile, we were going over at the end of the last hour a lot of training we've been going through and learning about this newer house wrap and talking about the house wrap system and keeping your house dry. And it's not just for air infiltration, but it works wonderfully for air infiltration, but mainly for the water, for leaking into the house, leaking into the walls, leaking around the windows. And when you think about a window installation and how that's being performed, look at the warranty and what's involved with that warranty and backing how that window is put in, because there are three different ways to install a replacement window in an existing home. And I have a client right now that's working through with their insurance company that their insurance company, because the windows have hail damage and need to be replaced, and their insurance company is picking and choosing how they are willing to pay to get these windows installed from that manufacturer. So we've got a really good window system, window manufacturer that has the same three types of installation on their website, and they describe it as new construction, full frame replacement, or pocket replacement. So that new construction is installing windows in a new building or when siding has been completely removed. That is absolute key. Full frame replacement, installing windows after removing the existing frame and sashes, but then there's quotations there that siding stays on the exterior. Then you got your pocket replacement, installing windows and leaving the existing frame in place. There you end up with a window with a frame and the existing frame, and you're really relying on caulk majorly and losing some glass view value there. But just like with that siding, with the house wrap, with everything, it's the installer, how these are installed. If you have somebody that says, I can do this, what we call here at Mosby, the preferred method of window installation. So we're looking at standard, that's your pocket, advanced, that's kind of your middle full frame, and then new construction, well, that's our preferred, where we're removing siding, we're flashing everything, we're doing all the work around it. Sometimes, depending on how old the home is, you end up in a spot where you might want to look at residing that wall or taking all the siding off that wall, kind of corner to corner, to put house wrap on the wall if you do not have it. So there's a lot of levels in how good this is done. But if you read into and think about why one has a one-year warranty and the top one has a 10-year warranty, I think that's going to be the proof that says there's good reason to do this, and there's good reason we're willing to back it in a really great way when you get into that most preferred way and the best way to get it done. But hey, we've got a couple calls coming in. Let's jump on to Mike, who's on the phone, and see what's going on. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. My house was built in 1976, and the builder, in his infinite wisdom, decided to use Elastisil flooring system, which is inexpensive plywood. and then an inch and a half of concrete on top of that. I would like, and you know, usually put carpeting in. I'd like to put some tile down, and I just don't know how to go about with it because the concrete is pretty lightweight, and it breaks up, you know, when they staple the pad down and all that stuff. So trying to figure out how to put ceramic tile down on top of that.
Yes, and that could take some good investigation with that system. I do not know offhand exactly what needs to happen with that system, but I do know that with ceramic tile, you do need a certain thickness and a certain grade, and even the distance between the floor joists. When you look at it, if you have 2x10s, 16 inches on center, then they want a 3/4 inch plywood. Then you go to like the 1/2 inch concrete board, or you need certain strengths. So there's some thinner concrete board that's stronger, kind of like I was discussing with the concrete, is you can make it, you know, a higher pressured, stronger board. So there's some that are a little bit thinner that are just as strong as the 1/2 inch. So it would really be evaluating the size of your floor joists, how far apart are they? Because in the 70s, you could also have a different type of spacing in between those floor joists. And then we need to take account in that existing system and figure out what needs to go on top of that in order to really make it work. So you could need more than we think, where it could end up being like we need to add another 1/4 to 1/2 inch of plywood over everything and then go to your concrete board to really make a system. But so it is a little bit different, and that system is definitely going to be a little bit different. And you can maybe also check with there is like a ceramic tile, you know, a tile installation kind of group out there that heads all this stuff up, kind of like there's the masonry industry, and there's like the flooring tile industry that has people that size this stuff up and make these recommendations. So looking that stuff up could be a way in getting to like a St. Louis organization of flooring people that would come up with how that works. That's another good way to find out. What do they recommend? Because they may have stuff in their system where they're like, yep, we've seen this, we've done this, we look back in a file, here's what we recommend when it's built that way.
Yeah, okay, yeah. A friend of mine just did his foyer, and he took out this inch and a half of concrete and built it up with a bunch of plywood and stuff.
Yeah.
I want to do the whole house, and I, you know, I sure don't want to dig all that out, because that would be a big job. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep, if you're doing the whole house, that is a huge project. Yep.
Yeah.
Wish you a lot of luck with that. So, but it is something that, yeah, you can find out about getting in deep with that flooring industry, or having a company like Mosby, you know, look and talk about like doing the investigation and figuring out what it would take. But that's a lot of work.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, well, I appreciate it, though. Thank you.
All right, yeah, no problem at all. Great question. Interesting in how the timelines work and with these houses, and there is different framing methods. That's kind of what I was talking about with the spacing between those floor joists, too. So in the 60s, 70s, there was a lot of they utilize different framing methods to try and save on lumber, and that could be another thing that kind of plays into how much backing you need for a ceramic tile floor. So understanding all that, too, is very, very important. We're going to jump into a quick break here. Sherry Joe, if you two can hang on the line here for a couple minutes, I'll let everybody else know we'll be here. We'll have plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900. Stay with us. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for you today, helping out. Hopefully, we'll see what we can do to help you out here shortly. 314-436-7900. You can call, you can text, get your information in. and we'll see what we can do to help for you. And we've got Sherry on the line, so let's go straight there and see how we can help. How you doing,
Hi,
Sherry? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Fine. Hi, thanks for taking the call. And I don't know if I'm wording this right, but we have a contractor that we just had to let go of. He was midway through the project, and we saw that he was not putting the studs in right. And
he said
he was going to be coming full days, and he ended up coming like 2 hours, 3 hours, and it was like 4 days of going through this. So we just wanted to be done with him. So we paid everything that we owed, and we found out we paid too much because he wasn't working as long as he was. And then we found his receipt he dropped by mistake. And we were paying for other people's things that we saw on the receipt. So I'm so I found out a lot in looking at that receipt. So we just wanted to end. We just want him to just send us documentation that the project is ended, you know, and just bite the bullet and just lose, you know, what we have. We can't get him to respond. I mean, I've contacted him when he was here. I told him what I wanted those last three the last two times that he came, I told him I wanted to end the and have a wrap up of the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to do it. He never did. We've contacted him four times. He hasn't responded. So what do you do next? I mean,
yeah. I mean the only thing I would maybe suggest is because a lot of companies that I worked for in the past, we never really had any kind of closeout like that or any kind of real closeout paperwork. It is pretty much you pay the final bill. It's kind of a final invoice. And then everybody's kind of on their word going, well, the job looks good to you. Yep. Looks good to me. Yeah. We think we're done. And well, they paid the last of it. And so here we go. We're done. So at Mosby Building Arts, we actually have a completion form. It's called a substantial completion form, and we call it that because sometimes the job can be what we call substantially complete, to where if, say, you had a exterior light fixture that we were putting in, but it showed up with a broken piece of glass in it, and we were like, well, we're done with everything, but we've ordered this new light. It's going to be coming in a couple weeks, so we can kind of close out that whole job, do the paperwork, hold back just a little bit of money for the actual light fixture, and get you kind of reusing that space and understanding that the project's done except this one punch list item. So to me, this is the first company I've ever worked for that actually had some kind of closeout paperwork like that. So for you, the best thing that you could probably do is kind of like draft a letter that says your intent of this project at my house with, you know, in these dates that we've paid you this much for. We, you know, kind of state that what you're considering, or I'm considering this concluded. We, you know, you have no reason to come back. You have no reason to bill me for any more. I'm done with this, and send that like a certified letter so you can prove that he received it, and maybe use that for your protection on your side of he's not going to come back and say you owe him any more or anything like that in the future. That's what I might recommend. I don't, other than going to like an actual attorney and paying fees to try and figure it out. But most of the time, once you're there, it's kind of your right to swipe the credit card or write the check or not. And most people, most companies, once you stop doing that, they're not going to be back trying to do more without being able to cover their expenses. So, I mean, I think like a certified letter would probably work fine just for you to have some sort of documentation that I ended it with him.
Okay.
And he received it because they'll have a signature that this is okay. the person that got it or whatever. Then you can just start your process, which is pretty unfortunate, but you just start your process again with talking to companies and trying to find a reputable company that's going to call it out, understand it, set great expectations, and do what they say.
But we thought we had a good deal going because we went through Angie's List.
Mm-hmm.
But we're finding that just doesn't cut the mustard. And my daughter is really peeved because she feels like, well, I know we were taken advantage of, because when we look at this receipt and a lot of items that we didn't have a need for weren't showing up at our house were on this receipt. So we're out like $800 worth of stuff that was not ours.
Yeah.
So it's just a bad deal all the way around. But the certified letter, you say, okay, get a certified letter and just say that we're closing the deal out.
Yep. Just kind of do that from your end. And I think you'll at least it'll be something that you have that's like, hey, I did this and I didn't want him around anymore. And I let him know. You could even state in that letter how much you paid him and that you're not paying him anymore. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. And that should get you covered pretty well. And then from there on out, I mean, all these Angie's List and these, they all have their faults. They're not perfect. I've seen stories years back of some of these where they say they're doing background checks, but they're not as good as they say. And there's been people caught that were criminals that were, had been prosecuted before for stuff, and they're finding that out. Later, after they thought they went through someone that had all that information. And so it is very hard. And you got to, even with any of those organizations, because even like the Better Business Bureau, that's a good spot to go through too, to say, who's had complaints, this and that. But it's pretty easy to restart a company, change the name, and kind of refunction with the Better Business Bureau and say, yep, now we've got this company. We've been in business 5 years. We haven't had any complaint. We've done this and that. But it could be someone that's been in the industry for 30 years and they've had horrible complaints, and it's just other company names. And there's just, so much background that you got to be able to try and look into. So one of the things that I have often recommended is for clients to, one, try and do all the research you can on the company, and you can do the Angie's List, you could check the Better Business Bureau. But if you look into the company and you check into the people in the company, the owner of the company or the person at your home, like, look at casenet.com and search the owner's name of a company.
Okay.
And sometimes you might be really surprised that I've found people that are either the owner of a company or they're like a new hire kind of president of a company, and you research that person. And what I found out was, and this was a real thing for me years ago, there was a company that I was asked to research. So I kind of did, and they were like, they'd been in business for so long and everything seemed on the up and up. They were like 10 years in business or whatever. Well, but the someone that got hired in that company to run it, I researched that person. And that person had been sued by multiple other companies that he either ran into the ground, even in different states, or he was having work done and not paying contractors.
Oh, my God.
And so one of the contractors that was on this list that they hadn't paid was the concrete company that I work with here at Mosby Building Arts. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're like, this, the company that we use for concrete is suing this person. So I called my guy there. I'm like, hey, Larry, you know, I'm like, what can you tell me about this guy? And the first thing he said was, oh, God, please tell me you're not doing any work with him. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And I kind of described, you know, I had a client that was comparing us to them. And they were like, well, you do some research and tell me what you think. Compare our your company, their company. Let me know what you think the differences are. And I'm like, well, gosh, one major difference is research the guy that just got hired in the past 2 years to run this company, because he's driven companies into the ground in three different states. They went bankrupt. And now he's here, and now he's working for this company. So this company could have been good for 10 years, and now they could fall apart in the next year, and everyone is suing him for not paying them. So, yeah, it's so look into the people is a good thing to do, to say, okay, you know, it's not just a company, because I can start a company and make it look really good for the first 2, 3, 4 years, but I could have a terrible history. So, okay. Yeah.
Casenet.com.
Yep, Casenet.com. It'll just show you, like, have they ever been to small claims court? Have they ever had DUIs and just anything like that? What is their background? So sometimes you got to be careful and make sure you really got things right and make sure you are looking at the right person. Cause like I'm a junior. So you might, if you just do my name, you might see things from my father. That's not necessarily me. So you do have to have some caution in that and make sure that you've got it right. But when you do have it right, you might find out, you might surprise yourself and be like, oh gosh, yep, that's not a good idea. It seems like it, but probably not. So, but yeah, I wish you a lot of luck with that. And, the only other thing I could tell you is, you know, Mosby Building Arts does all kinds of work. We're very reputable. You can check our backing. You can have us out, take a look at things, and we'll help let you know what we can do, what we can't, and figure things out. And if it's a great spot, we're a great company to get things done, like probably what you're looking for if it involves framing and different things like that. So,
what do you do, North City?
We go pretty much everywhere. We're in Illinois. We go all around. It's all about the value of, you know, the relationship between the work, the company, and the owner, and what's going to get delivered. So it's really our point to just explain, be good advisors, and tell our story, and then let people make good, educated decisions.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, we go pretty much all over the place.
Oh, I'm so glad I talked to you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Sherry. You're very welcome. I got to get to a break here. But for everybody else, 314-436-7900. Don't go nowhere. Stick around. More Home Improvement Show coming up. Welcome back, St. Louis. We are running out of time here. If you need something, we're getting close. We're getting closer and closer to the end. 314-436-7900. That's where you'll find me. Call, text. Let's get in. We did have Joe. We lost Joe on the line. It did say a question about squeaky floors. Of course, that can be pretty wide, but typically when you have squeaky floors, you are definitely looking at trying to figure out at what area in the system is this squeak coming from. Like we were explaining with the tile floor and the backing and the floor joists and how far apart are they. So you can get squeaks that occur between the floor joists and the actual wood subfloor. Is that glued? Is it screwed? Is it nailed? How's that put together? Deflection, what we call deflection, how bouncy is that floor when it moves up and down, causes into that. And then depending on the floor that's on top, a lot of this occurs with hardwood flooring. A lot of the squeaky floor questions are hardwood flooring. So now you're trying to figure out, is it between the subfloor and the hardwood floor, or is it between each hardwood floor board, you know, kind of where they connect, the tongue and groove, you can kind of get that squeak occurring in there also. One good method you can try is like a baby powder or like a tonic powder. You kind of just spread it out over the hardwood floor, run it around, and what you're trying to do is kind of let it fall into the grooves and the little spacing between each of the boards. And if you do that, and if that does mitigate some of that squeaking in that floor or all of the squeaking in that floor, then you kind of know it's on the top wood layer in that hardwood floor where that is happening. Another place I've found squeaks in hallways in newer framed homes is the actual walls, like the walls to the bathroom or the bedroom, the wall at each side. You have a 3-foot hallway, you're walking down the middle and you're getting these squeaks. And when they build the walls, they put them on the subfloor and they're nailing that wall to the floor. Well, sometimes they're using guns, they're going a couple thousand miles per hour, they're trying to build this house really quickly. Well, you get a couple of those gun nails that are pretty smooth and they go through the subfloor, kind of between through the bottom play of the wall, the bottom 2x4 into the subfloor, but it doesn't hit the floor joist and doesn't lock in real good. If you're getting a little deflection, you're getting that plywood moving, that squeak can be that nail through that plywood and just kind of rubbing up and down as you walk up and down that hallway. So I've found floor squeaks where I had to take out some of the base trim and the drywall and get those nails out of there and re-secure that wall through the plywood into the actual floor joist to help correct those squeaks. Some of that gets to be hard to find and a lot of work. You're not thinking you're going to be running trim and drywall and all this stuff trying to figure out where these floor squeaks are coming from, but that is definitely can be a factor in that. So if you're over an unfinished basement, you can try these kind of metal clamp screw-on tightening fasteners they make that you attach to the bottom of the subfloor and you attach it to the floor joists and you tighten that and it tightens those two together. And if that's getting rid of squeaks, then you know it's between the movement in the floor joists and that plywood subfloor. So there's a lot of factors in that. And there are companies that do this, like squeak stoppers. If you just Google squeaky floor fix, that sort of thing, you'll find some of these companies. And they've probably got, I would have to imagine, some really good people that have been dealing with these squeaks for quite a while that know how to narrow that down and figure some of that out, where it is, where it's coming from, and all of that. So, hey, for the next segment, we do have a text that came in, so I'll try and see if I can get to this front door, storm door, stained glass window in the door question we just got in. But if you need something in the final segment, hey, I'm right here. I'm here for you, 314-436-7900. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We'll have more for you after this. Welcome back. Here we are. It has to happen. The final segment. I wish it could go all day, but we'll do what we can. We'll get through this. We got Jason on the line. Let's see what's going on with Jason. Hey, Jason, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I had some storm damage to my house this spring, and I'm going to have my siding replaced, and I thought it was a good time to look at replacement windows. One company is talking about removing the windows completely and replacing those. The other one is talking about cutting out the window and leaving the original frame and putting the replacement window inside of that. And I was wanting to get your take on which one that you would recommend. And what the difference is between the two options.
Yes. So big difference between the two options, and it sounds like there's even a third going further that would be a lot better. So how old is your home?
It's 32 years old.
Okay, and you're getting, you have vinyl siding and you're getting new vinyl siding?
Correct.
Okay, so that is definitely the opportune time to change windows, because while the siding is off the house, you can go back to that new construction style window, which basically is, it has a fin around the window itself that nails to the actual wall of the home. And what that allows us to do is you can flash the opening. You can put sill tape on that kind of protects the wood window sill framing. You can put this window in, nail these fins and everything. You can flash tape around it. And when you're replacing all your siding, if you don't have house wrap, you now have either the opportunity to make sure your house wrap's correct or redo the house wrap that will, it'll kind of integrate into those nail fins, and it will completely airtight and watertight seal that, even to the effect where at the bottom of the window, if you get any condensation or anything forming under that frame, it can get out at the bottom of that window following that flashing tape, because the fin at the bottom is on top of the tape, and then at the top and around the sides, it's over it. So it's kind of like applying roofing shingles, how water can just run down and never goes backwards. Well, that can work like that and even let water out and go where it needs to go. It's the best way, the best protection that you can get. And if you're already siding, that's the opportune time to do that with your windows. When they take that frame, if you cut out that frame, then they're putting in a replacement window that does not have those fins around it. So it doesn't attach to the outside of the wall. So there's no good way to stop water, air, anything from coming around that window. If you imagine like the toddler toy you had with the different shapes, the square and the triangle and the oval, and you know, the toddler picks up the shapes and they fit it through that opening. Well, that's kind of how your window goes in. You picture a rectangle going into a rectangle opening, but it has to be a little bit smaller to fit. Well, there's gaps around that, and they just cover that from the outside and they caulk it. And if any wind-driven rainwater gets behind that siding, then it can go inside and get around that window. So the other way they're talking about leaving the existing frame, well, you're putting a window with a frame inside of a window frame. So that way you're still reliant on caulk, because you're just basically caulking the new window frame to the old window frame. So that's the only way you keep wind, air, and water out, is as soon as that caulk fails, you can start getting leaks. And if you can imagine two window frames and a sash, you're going to start losing visible glass, because you'll have a lot of frame. It's going to look really, have a lot of like metal covered trim on the outside, kind of wide to your siding to cover that up. And then on the inside, it's like your window gets skinnier of the actual glass that you see through. So it's not always really aesthetically pleasing to do. That's called like the pocket fit, a frame that fits inside of your existing frame. And that can have just the same amount of air and water leaking problems down the road because of caulk breaking around the frame and the metal wrap and all of that, and still coming in between the windows. So there's three levels of installation there. And if you're getting all new siding, I would highly recommend going to the best, going to the what we call preferred new construction method, and try and find somebody that really, really knows what they're doing and how they install and flash that. And I would even say do a lot of your own research. Look up how do you flash a window with the Tyvek house wrap system? And you can see, you'll see all the stuff, and it'll really be eye-opening where you're like, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense and really, really works and is really going to be super beneficial. And I will say that, you can give Mosby Building Arts a call, too, and talk to us about it because, we know these systems. I feel better than any company out there. We've been doing this for 20 years plus on how to install these systems and do it the best way. And we do it with all our own employees. So the people putting on the siding are also the people putting in the windows. They're hourly paid to get it right. And it's just a different thing. The insurance won't cover quite what the investments would be for us to do it the best way possible. But sometimes paying that difference is 100% worth it, especially if you're going to stay in that home for a long period of time.
Excellent. Thanks for explaining that. And that was my question, whether the additional expense to have the new construction window was worth it. And you answered that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it definitely is 100%. I would say, yep, do some research and really make sure. And if you're talking to anybody, leave your questions open and let them explain. If you educate yourself, don't explain to them what's going to happen. Let them explain to you what they think, and you'll start to learn, do they really understand, and have they really done this before? So, yep. I appreciate the call, Jason. Do a lot of research. Protect yourself. Make sure you get it right. And, hey, for everybody else out there, we're running out of time here. Had a great time. I'll look forward to talking to everybody next week. Be good to your homes. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you next week.